Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord our God and King. He loves us so much. Did you know God serves man? He made us in the first place. And then we got in sin. He didn't give up on us. He did something and he did works he did works for our salvation. And then he came and taught us, became one of us, died for us, rose again, and the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He loves us so much. Well, I once asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's like a definition for love in heaven? He said, in heaven, love is defined by what you do. Love is a verb, just like faith. It's action. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, faith is an act. Faith is an act, and it is. If you trust God with all your heart, now trust is a noun. It doesn't do any work. It's just and we trust God because of the past experience. Anybody you trust is because of the past. Even the airplane you get on. If you get on an airplane to fly somewhere, if you get on an airplane with the intent to fly somewhere, it's because you trust it with all you got. But you trust it because airplanes don't crash often. And you may believe that God is with you. And the Lord loves his people. And he helps us out. We trust God because of the past. We believe God. Believing is also a noun. Believing is taking God at face value without the past. So, but when you trust God, all that trust in or believing God, Abraham believed God and he went to another place. He left his nation, his father's house, his kindred, and went to a land God was showing. He took God at faith. He believed God. The word said that he believed God. But when he acted on it, that became faith. Obedience is an act. It can be an act of believing or an act of trust. But once you perform it, it's faith. In order to be in faith, you have to be sincere. Faith looks to God. When I say follow God, a greater interpretation may be to always keep God first place in all. What if people acknowledged the Lord in all of their ways and kept him first place? They did whatever God would reveal. And so when I was learning these things, I said, well, Lord, what about some decisions like whether to watch TV or not? He said, that's neither here nor there. That's up to you. What color shirt you gonna wear? That's up to you. But the bigger choices, especially ministry choices, that should be given by God. Because one scripture said, if the Lord don't build a house, they labor in vain. Now, if I concoct a good plan, it can look good to people. People will get on board with your plan because they expect it to work because they've seen God work in your life. But even I get on board with somebody's plan. But if God gives the plan, it's going to definitely work. But when God does it, he's going to do some things differently than what we would do because he knows more than we do. And I believe we can all agree on that fact. And sometimes he asks me to do something, I say, me? I don't know what to do. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when I get in trouble, that's my quotation. That's what I confess. When I want something, that's what I confess. When I have a hard case, that's what I confess. I watch, I pay attention. In the natural, see, you can practice following God with your everyday needs, things that you need. Being a mechanic, you know, it can get rough out there. When you're working on a car, some bolts can be so, they've been tight for 30 years, 25 years. and they don't. Sometimes they'll break before they throw it out. Then you have to get special tools and go in. You don't really know what you're getting into until you get into it. And so things go wrong. And I had a hard case before, and I said, this man gonna have to buy a motor if I don't figure this out. And the car was tying my garage up. I had to work around it because it had a broken bolt, a head bolt of all things, down in a well, and you couldn't drill it straight. I said, Lord, you know how to get that out. I said, I'm gonna stop. I'm not gonna do anything else tonight. I'm too tired and frustrated. I said, show me how to get that bolt out. And I had a dream that morning. I had a good night's sleep, and that morning the Lord showed me what to do. He said, get a carbide bit, shield it, and grind it out. The shield would keep it centered. If I could have drilled it in the center, I could have got it out. But the tools I had, it walked on me. Instead of it being in the center, it was to the right a little bit. And now it's going to get into the block wall, and the motor wouldn't be any good if I did that. So, I went to Fastenal, and I described the carbide bit they wanted. They said you need a well cutter's bit. It's got a flat grinding edge. I said that's what I want, and they had one. And I began to grind it out, and it went dull on me, so I had to go get another one. They didn't have the size I needed. They had a smaller size. So I said, let me buy that one. And then I want to order another one like I had. Well, the smaller size went all the way through. Then when the other one came, I finished it. Then I drilled it. Then I put the time cert in it, which is like a helicoil, a strong helicoil. But it's a time cert. That's what they call it. And then it torqued. And then it worked. And then the car was gone. The Lord gave me what to do. Now, I couldn't have come up with that on my own because I didn't come up with it on my own. God helped me. Now, when it comes to people and doing His perfect will, before God do a major work, He gets rid of the idolatry. He gets rid of the darkness, the doubt, the fear, the unbelief, the pride. All that's got to go. Now, if there are tares among the wheat, before God can go forward with a mighty work, He has to get rid of the idolatry, the doubt, the unbelief, anything that could come from the darkness, especially pride, that's got to go. And then everybody that He uses must be sincere. Now the Holy Spirit can come and rest, and He can move in people's lives. Nobody will get Cain jealous over somebody. People will support each other. It'll be a sweet spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been going to church all my life. Sometimes ordinary people will just link up with God, and there's a sweet spirit on the place, and nobody wants to leave. When the church, and when the pastor finally closes out, people just hang around and talk for a long time. And I know people have bothersome lives. Things happen that shouldn't happen, and people have schedules and things like that. But when people have that sweet spirit, that they just love God, it's an atmosphere of worship. Nobody wants to leave it. So when there's a great work, and God's going to do a great work, it takes people doing that. That's what we pray for. And a lot of revivals started out of prayer. But sincere prayer, when people are sincere and nobody wants to show off, nobody wants to be, nobody wants preeminence, that's the kind of atmosphere God can move in. Now, this kind of training comes with good teaching. And some people will receive it and some won't. Something's going to happen to you, favorably and unfavorably, if you keep going to the next glory in your life. Now, when you do that, you need the training to go with it. God will prepare you for the next glory. But when you go there, favorable things will happen and unfavorable things that's necessary will also happen. And I'll explain that later. But first, we want to look at something in Isaiah chapter 60. This is a very wonderful chapter. I love this chapter. Isaiah said, the Holy Spirit through Isaiah said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now that was unheard of in those days. They only expected that for people like Moses, the prophets, sometimes the kings. But now it's saying upon thee. And this is why, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to thy brightness of thy rising. And that has already happened. We're the Gentiles that have gotten saved. Lift up thine eyes round about, verse 4, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and forces of the Gentile shall come to thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. In the millennial, after all this is over, Jewish people will have come back to the Lord, and people, the Gentile nations, will come and worship God in Israel. But notice, Gentiles have already began to come. I would be what you call a Gentile. Now I'm part of the church. I'm Father Abraham's spiritual son by the Spirit through Christ, because I believed on Jesus Christ and his blood washed my sin away. Now, the reason I brought all this up, darkness shall cover the earth. In order to overcome darkness, we have to be guided out of it, because some darkness though it's darkness, it doesn't always look dark. Light and darkness is a metaphor. But the Holy Spirit is working with us. He's guiding us out of it. When we get saved, and washed in the blood of Jesus, and we have a new heart, but we got the old mind, and we live in dark. We live in a world full of darkness, and sometimes we agree with it, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we know it or not. And so, I had to have a protocol. I said, "Lord, not a protocol. Well, yeah. What's the better word? A counter." For the fact that I might still be in darkness somewhere. So my strength is yielding to the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, help me see things the way you do. See, if you have the love of God in you, there is no law against the love of God. So if I got his love, I can fulfill all the law every day that I walk in his love. But that doesn't mean I'm skilled. It means that if I keep operating in the love of God, I can live a perfected life. A perfected life without the skill of knowing all the intricates and what to watch out for until the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. And so it is with everybody. And remember, there are tares among the wheat. For this reason, when I say, backing up a little bit, when I say follow God, this is what I'm talking about. Let yielding be to the Lord. Let yielding to the Lord be a standard in your life, and he will guide you and help you overcome all the obstacles that are already in place, and he'll show you as you can receive it, all the golden opportunities that exist every day of your life. See, when people have a need, anything, God, there are so many golden opportunities every day to deal with that problem. We just don't see it. But when you start paying attention to the Holy Spirit, you'll start seeing opportunities that you have to conquer whatever problem that's in your way. We receive light in every form, not just doing right, not just in a holy life or a loving life, but light is also wisdom. Light is also counsel. It's also the knowledge of God. It's also the wisdom of God. Everything, all the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit is light. It's a metaphor. And the Holy Spirit, as you're paying attention to Him, He will cause you to see what you don't see. Now, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And as you fill your heart with His love and His word, see, the word of God is the knowledge of love. That's the knowledge that love has. When you walk in that, when you walk in His love, it's easy to embrace the word. And when you, every time you embrace the word, you grow stronger and stronger. Your heart becomes more receptive to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Now, I've done this a lot of ways, and I used to try to remember facts, biblical facts. But when you study to teach, it's different than when you study to live. I fill my heart with the word to live by. The Lord prescribed books for me to listen to while I work or while I go about my day. I'm listening to the word all day. I used to read 5 in the morning, 5 chapters in the middle of the day, 5 at night. And I still read chapters sometimes. But more than that, I listen to whole books, sometimes twice in a day. Some books are very long. I can listen to Isaiah twice. And the Lord prescribed what I need for whatever He wants to do. And I receive enough word for me to live by. My intent is to live by and grasp what God wants to share with me. Now, in my ministry, the Lord, He'll give me a season of training. He'll train me for a season. And then He used to give me assignments, specific assignments. And then instead of training, I'll be doing the assignment, doing what I've been trained to do. And then He'll give me a season of rest. And He's not training me, and He don't have me doing assignment. This is in the past how He would do it. I do it a little different now. But while I had rest, I would ask Him my personal questions. Now, if I had a need, I would always ask my personal question, whatever I just wanted to know for my own satisfaction. And He'll share that too, if what I want to know is close to what He's giving me. Now, the word that comes to us, that's what you put on the top shelf. Sometimes I'm going about my day, I'm not praying, I'm not fasting, I'm just working, and then the Lord will just come and start teaching. Now, that's training. I'm going to need that to do the next phase of ministry. Now, what I do now, the Lord, He do train me, and then I do broadcast every day. I listen to the word, and then I notice a little pattern of what He's doing, because people are listening, and He's feeding people that's hungry, and He give me thoughts during the day so that I can do what I'm doing. And the word is in me, the love is there. It helps me embrace the truth that God wants without argument. And I love it. This is a relationship. And I also have periods where I can rest. And on the weekends, I read whatever I want to read on the weekend. Unless the Lord got something in mind on Saturdays, I'll read what I want to read. But in the week, I say, Lord, what do you have today? And He'll give me a book, and I listen to it. Most of the time, it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Judges, and sometimes Job. He gave me more Old Testament stuff to read than New Testament. I don't really ask him why, I just do it, and it works. And then in the New Testament, they were getting people on board, but the apostles taught from the Old Testament, actually. But I read the New Testament too, and I started with Jesus when I first began, and I still go back to what he taught. Everything works together. However God wants to do it, that's how you do it. But if you're paying attention to him, he'll navigate you right out of darkness, all kinds of darkness that's there. Now, if you go, I said earlier, if you go to the next glory, things are going to happen favorably and unfavorably, because God's got to do surgery. He's got to remove things that's not right from yourself. If he's going to expose it to you, if he ever exposed something that's not right in your life, junk it. Get it out of your life. Throw it away. That goes to the junkyard. That goes away from you. That's poison. You pour it out. And he has to do that with everybody. Now, some people like the mixture, and they're not going to budge. Sometimes, if you keep going from glory to glory, the Lord will drive people out of your life, and so that you can go forward. And this will, if that happens for you, you got promoted. It's not a negative. It's painful, but it's not a loss. It's a gain. Because now you're going to be free to do what's necessary. Friends will leave your life. Sometimes the Lord will cause people to move or go somewhere else if they won't repent. Or sometimes people go to the next glory and they're ready for God to use them separately. So that's not what you were after, but you got promoted and they did too. And God's going to reward you for being a blessing to them. He's going to reward them for being a blessing to you. Spiritual wealth is in their bank and in your bank because y'all did what y'all was supposed to do. Some separations are not wrong. God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for a mission. And he called them apostles. They were prophets before that. But once they were separated, they became apostles. If you keep going to the next glory, things are going to happen to combat the darkness and to promote the light. Remember, Jesus formed in us as he came to us in seed form. We believe, we grow from glory to glory. Sometimes people are backbiters. They never were with you. Now, John said they left us to prove that they were never of us. Now, this isn't preached much unless you read those few scriptures. Because some people don't ever get to the glory where it has to happen. But sometimes, I've seen it happen. Sometimes even a divorce happens. People, their heart is not with you. You know, I know a man, the Lord said, her heart is not with you. She's going to leave, let her go. That's how it is. And you can't make somebody's heart be with you. The concept, sometimes we're in love with the concept and it's just not real. I don't say these things pleasantly or lightly. This is true. Why? It's not logical for a person to leave a good wife or a good husband. But darkness is not logical, is it? Nothing about darkness is logical. It doesn't make sense. The supernatural things in our life are supposed to be in our life. It was never supposed to be all natural, and the supernatural was for others. Men were supposed to live just as good as angels from the beginning. Adam was supposed to be able to go to heaven just like the angels do and present himself before the Lord. We are not supposed to be in any form of darkness. That's out of bounds. The Lord said, come boldly to my throne. His church is always welcome to heaven. Literally. And And that's just the way it is. The supernatural is supposed to be in the natural. The enemy is setting things up so that we can believe his scientific lies that man is all natural, there's no God, and there's no hope. He's lying to this false civilization foolishness. People didn't want people to get healed because that's not civil. That's acting abruptly and that's sensational. You know, they wanted that stoic, that dead stoic mindset that they used to have. And it was terrible in London with it. And all the classes of people, the rich, the poor, you know, that's satanic. All darkness is satanic, no matter what mask it has on. In Christ, all of us, God loves every person in the kingdom of God just like he loved Jesus. He gave every person in the kingdom of God the same rights and privileges that Jesus has. He should be our focus. And if we follow him, we will arise and grow from glory to glory to glory until he returns. And we'll be driving out all forms of darkness, things we know about, with the things that used to be a struggle. You'll be laughing at how it left your life. It won't be a problem anymore. Things you don't know about will be revealed as you receive more light. This happened to me. I had a word at AOH Church, Pratt City AOH, years ago. I said it ought to be normal for men to walk and talk with God. It don't supposed to be every now and then. It's supposed to be every day. And it's supposed to be everybody. That was the gist of the word, but the Lord gave it. I gave it the way he gave it to me. Now that's, the supernatural is supposed to be in our lives if we're following God. We're supposed to have more solutions than questions. And our solutions will inspire greater questions. We're supposed to dialogue. Most of our prayer should be listening and dialoguing with the Lord, not trying to solve the same problem we had 30 years ago. So if you follow God, the dogmas and the dead doctrines and the pet doctrines, they just won't do it. They're not going to cut it. They never will. They'll only get you so far. Old anointings and old glories, the darkness is worse. And they need to see the light. They need to see great light. They need to see you walking in the next glory. And then in the next glory. See, when you walk according to God's wisdom, you provide them with the light to give them hope. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. As we yield to him faithfully, as we yield, there's nothing we can't do. There's no mountain that we can't climb. Or we can just move it out of our path. There's nothing we can't do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if the Lord don't build a house, it won't be built. We can't do it without it. But when people think they can do it out of their mind, that they backslid a long time ago. Backsliding is a setback. Whether you did it by intent or default, it's a setback. When people are going a path that they agree with and God is trying to get them to do something else, they backslid. They're not going forward. Not like they could. I walk around knowing this. And only the maturest people can receive it the fastest. So the Lord had to raise up people that would hear this word. And so I've told some people things like this, and to me, a message like this gives me hope that I can do even greater things. But you can't love the darkness and do this. You have to love the light only. And if you think you, if you feel like, well, I don't love the light enough to do that, start saying it. Start saying, I love the light and I hate the darkness in every form. And it'll fall off your life. Well, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Yes, He does. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Glorious Lord.